one of the things I looked at was trauma in terms of transgenerational trauma, which is transmitted on an unconscious level.
Hey everyone, Nathan here, president of Saybrook University, right here in Pasadena, California. Welcome to another episode of Saybrook Insights. My guest today is Saybrook alumna and now faculty member, Dr. Annette Anderson Engler. Annette earned her PhD in human science right here at Saybrook University in Pasadena, and previously an MSW degree in clinical social work from Walla Walla University in College Place, Washington, and an MS in conflict analysis and resolution from Nova Southeastern University. She's well credentialed, folks, and she's also got tremendous energy and exuberance around the life of an academic and a practitioner. She's got a whole range of skills in grief, trauma, ambiguous loss, PTSD, and secondary degree of trauma among military families, amongst many other things. We get into very briefly today some of those elements around mental health and access, the beauty of social work and hearing stories and understanding people that are different from you and who are struggling to connect with you by hearing them and digging into who they are. So I'm looking forward to my conversation and having you take part in this experience with Dr. Annette Anderson Engler. Dr. Anderson Engler, it's truly my pleasure to have you here on Saybrook Insights. You have quite the amazing academic and practitioner background, really very inspiring. So maybe before we get into all the nitty-gritty questions, tell us a bit about your background, where you hail from, how did you find yourself studying at Saybrook University?
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Background, I'm a native New Yorker, started off in journalism, walked right into a site where there was a live recording and just put on a show. And they said, you're not a journalist. So anyway, I started off with journalism, loved it, went on from there to study social work, had a very deep, meaningful experience in New York in terms of humanity and things that were going on in the world. And my first experience was being in the center of New York City, watching a woman with a small child trying to make their way with a mattress across the street. And I thought, this is something's got to give. And I really grew a deep, deep longing to become a social worker. So I started off there. I went to the University of North Texas, that's where I started. Then I went to Walla Walla University, where I finished my MSW. And after that, I ended up at Nova Southeastern University, where I focused on conflict analysis and resolution. And there I did a lot of humanitarian work with regard to working with the Human Rights Commissioner in Norway, working with Columbia University and the Human Dignity Program, and working at John Stockton College in Holocaust Genocide Studies. And all of this humanitarian work actually brought me to Saybrook. So I researched some schools that were similar to some of the things that were deeply meaningful for me. And Saybrook came up. So I was very excited to join Saybrook, and I actually came into Saybrook in 2006, and I graduated in 2009. I had a lot of doctoral work under my belt before I came to Saybrook from Nova Southeastern University. So it was aspiring to just be there. And I have loved the program. I ended up getting my PhD in human science. So as I mentioned earlier, and just a wonderful experience.
Human science, when I first came here, is intriguing as a degree program. I want to get into your social work and practitioner background. Can you describe a little bit? The program no longer is at Saybrook, but it's definitely a legacy program.
Yes.
In the sense that Saybrook began with that along with psychology. So maybe tell the audience a little bit about what it was.
Oh, it was great. Very, very humanistic in the sense that I was gifted to work with some professors who helped me stay connected to that humanitarian, human rights, cultural awareness, just deep, meaningful work that I had done. And that was why I really came to Saybrook, because it was a place where I knew I could get that connection. We were there at residency, started there. At that time, you were able to sit and talk to so many wonderful professors. And I just talked about my dreams and my hopes, and things that I was most interested in at the time was Daughters of Vietnam Veterans. So I wanted to know more about storytelling, peace building. I learned a lot about that overseas when I worked with Palestinian Israeli groups, and I did a lot of humanitarian work there. And that was strengthened. I was encouraged to pursue it. I was encouraged to read literature, and it was a great experience. So the human science was closely related to social work, because it was about human, and it was about really understanding humanity from a scientific perspective without taking away the heart of the issue. So that's how it was. It was great.
It had more of a kind of a sociological flair to it, didn't it? I mean, I think would that be fair to say? I mean, that sort of the connection to your roots in social work a little bit, or no?
Yeah, it did in a way. It was more of a humanistic point in terms of I am human, you are human, I honor your humanity, you honor mine, and we get to talk about it and we get to experience it together and we get to grow and learn about one another through, and of course, my background in conflict resolution helped, because those conversations, difficult conversations that are hard to get through, human science helped me and gave me the tools that I needed to navigate through how do I talk to someone who's different? How do I go into a setting that's extremely different from my own? And especially being a New Yorker, that was, so that was what it was. And it was sociological in that sense, in the scientific sense, but the human sense was, what makes you human? What makes the program human? What makes, when you leave this program, how are you now more human, if there's such a term? So yes.
Yeah, no, that's very good. Very good. I appreciate that. So your journey, you went from journalism to social work, and there's something behind that. And you told a bit of a story. I want to know more about what, you know, kind of compelled you into that space. We'll get into social work more specifically, but what was the motivation on the social work side to choose that?
Stories. Journalism, stories, social work stories. I was in journalism in New York because I was very interested in stories, hearing stories, collecting stories. And the transition was about changing those stories. It was about being a part of that story and that story becoming a part of me, not just writing about it and then let's go on to the next story, but living a storied life and allowing someone to live their storied life through me. So that's how it all came together with social work.
Gotcha. And so you during the degree program itself that you went through, what were some of the things that really stood out to you in terms of how you evolved and changed as a human being?
The degree program at Saybrook or through social work?
The social work program. Yep.
Oh my goodness. We did body work. I focused, my area of focus, it was clinical social work, grief, trauma, and loss. But it wasn't grief in terms of death and dying. It was ambiguous loss in terms of the loss of a job, going through a divorce. Those types of losses where there are really no true answers, or the individuals that I worked with had no real true answers about that. So I look at the ambiguity of loss and what that meant. So that was what was very meaningful to me. And that was what you just said is what the term I always use, tell me more, or tell me your story and let it evolve. And I learned that of many, many stories, especially stories about cultural episodes and events, are stories that are episodic. It's there is no narrative that's going to be linear. I was born, here in Brooklyn, and now I ended up here. It's just, I was born here, and then I go back and forth, and it was this ebb and flow that happened that was just so beautiful and musical and just very much an art form. And that's how it evolved.
Well, we often say, at Saybrook, that experience in the therapy room and the in that consulting practice changes you as much as you change the people or the environment around you, right? How would you describe that as having changed you, those stories, the work you did within the community, and probably continue to do in some different ways, but
Well, I will say that I have, although it was a clinical degree, my focus was more in the community. It is more research based. I really consider myself more of a researcher than a clinician in many ways because I won't stop asking questions, and that's the only place where you could just go for it, So that process of asking and the process of moving yourself out of a clinical format where you go through a process and then there's a diagnosis and that sort of thing, it was more on a human level in the sense of this is who I was yesterday, this is who I am today, and it's okay. I'm not going to put you in a kind of clinical category. I just want you to be you. And then so that's where the research part of me really developed because there's so many areas, and qualitative research is my area of focus. And I looked at narratives, and not only how not narratives just a narrative per se, but how narratives are constructed and deconstructed, and how when we start to speak of those narratives and we embody them, those narratives, and they come out, what is the process? When do we reach this impasse where we just really don't know where to go in our story? And that's what I love about research.
Pretty amazing.
It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've done so much. I was reviewing your CV. You have like a laundry list of fabulous, publications and work you've done, and
Thank you.
especially in the space of, as you mentioned, ambiguous, grief, right? And the trauma work that you've been doing, DEI, areas around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so when you look at that kind of all the work you've been doing, and you've been looking at kind of thinking about the state of mental health for our community at large, the nation and kind of locally where you're at, what would you describe now as the major challenges that are facing not just social workers, but integrative health practitioners today? And we can get into some of the other stuff here related to it, but be curious. Yeah.
I really believe that one of the greatest challenges is creating a more caring community, caring for one another on a deeper level. There's so much conflict, there's so many things going on, but what we're lacking, it seems, is empathy. Lacking to hear and listen and sit with someone and just walk with them across the beach and just let the words come, and there's no real big expectation that you need to be a certain way. And I think that that's what we're losing. We're losing that true sense of self. One of the things I looked at was trauma in terms of transgenerational trauma, which is transmitted on an unconscious level. And sometimes we inherit those types of traits and we don't know why we have the inability to truly care. And we have to really sit with ourselves and talk and share stories and cry and laugh and make it human instead of it being so abstract. And in so many ways, I think it's becoming that way. So that is a challenge to get back into that circle, to get back into that place where we're truly caring for one another.
Do you think we were ever there?
No, I don't think we were ever there, but I think we've had moments where we were there. I think culturally, we have been there in various cultures. There are various cultures where they live there. And so certain cultures will be like, We've got a problem. There's a death in the family. Someone's in a hospital. Family, we sit, we talk, we cry, we grieve, we wipe one another's tears, we get dressed, and we go to the hospital, and we come back home, and we do that again, but we do it together. And so I think that in certain cultures and certain family group dynamics, it's there. And I know for me, it was, that was how we processed grief and loss, was through talking, through sharing stories.
I think that's pretty fabulous. If we could figure out a way to apply that on a regional, national level,
we're world
of hurt today, as you know.
Oh yes,
we got a major mental health crisis going on. We've got all sorts of division, and we're seeing the diminution of values like diversity, equity, and inclusion, and questioning what should be taught in our nation's colleges and universities and K-12. You have a background in all of these areas, and you're talking a lot about stories. And, you know, so how do we start to figure out the way forward in this crazy milieu that we're in? This, so I feel like we're not in a healthy place, Doctor.
Of course. Of course.
What would you prescribe?
Let's see. Really, the most meaningful thing for me is to create a sense of belonging.
Okay.
Not to say, oh, I love you, I care about you, and I want you to know that you belong here. But to understand, I am here. I do belong. I don't need someone to create that for me. I just need someone to understand or identify the fact I am here. I don't need permission to belong because I am belonging, but to identify that I am there. And by sensing this, I sense some deep passion and care and love in this room. And I really want to speak that out. I really want to identify what this other person is saying or feeling or thinking. And again, we go back to stories, right? So that, this, I really believe that's the answer. And I won't say the answer, but an answer to, especially to mental health and health disparities among the aging, and getting in places where, you know, aging population is among doctors who are saying, okay, this, you've got this, 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 and there's no explanation. There's no, how's your family? I remember, I have to tell you, I'm a storyteller, so I've got to tell you this story. My mother-in-law, I would take her to the doctor's office, and she was Jackie O. She just had her outfits on and she was doing her thing. And every time she went into the office, the doctor said, you know what? I live in Utah, of course. And so the doctor said, we don't dress like this in Utah. You are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And he would, and she's in her 80s, right? So he would say that to her. And all of a sudden, instantly, by acknowledging who she is and what she bought, there was a sense of belonging. There's something about inviting someone into that space. He's a medical professional. She's afraid. But yet and still, when he said that, she said, if a medical doctor says that I'm looking pretty good, hey, I've got hope.
You got hope. That's so right. Yeah, they haven't said that to me yet, so I need to have that game.
I'm waiting for that, too.
Yeah, right? I know. I hear it. Yeah, for sure. Well, so in addition to all of your previous work, you're also on faculty in the College of Integrative Medicine and Health Sciences. What led you here, and what's the focus of your current work right now?
Well, the focus of my current work, and I have not been doing it that long, so I'm still taking on things. I'm teaching ethics in healthcare, and so that is a wonderful experience. And that's what I can only really speak to that course, because that's a course I've taught from beginning to the end, and then research. And I actually love the experience of being able, especially to support students of color, because that's who I am, and that's my love, and that's who I try to reach out to and provide support to, my students of color. And it's been phenomenal. We've got great students at Saybrook. We've got students that come with very deep, meaningful, passionate work and are not afraid to talk about it. And I love that experience. And so here at Saybrook, as a core faculty, I'm sort of able to take out my my palettes and my brushes and everything and just paint my way through life. So it's just been wonderful, the freedom and the liberty to be able to just bring my full self to Saybrook.
That's cool. So the ethics and healthcare class that you teach, what are some of the prevailing issues that you all are tackling in your class right now?
Yeah, I think one of the prevailing issues may be with cultural humility and understanding that because this ethics in healthcare is a heavy topic. So there's so much. Where do you go? Where do you start? Where's the middle? Where's the end? It's ongoing. So I think that's probably where we tackle the most. And I think due to COVID and due to a lot of things that have come out due to COVID, especially health disparity issues, and a lot of students are bringing that into the classroom and talking about their experiences with regard to that and talking about being able to take that when they finish their doctorate, being able to take that back out there and teach others what they've learned from that class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we look at kind of the future of healthcare in general, especially with all the access issues around mental health, physical health, it's pretty beastie. What are your, well, we're having a big symposium, I think, as you know, this coming Friday, for those of you listening, this may be a few weeks out, but the big kind of takeaway, I think, as we go into this is the importance for integrative health, as kind of a whole health perspective. How are you seeing that in the healthcare system? Where are the gaps? Where are the opportunities from your perspective in your long line of work and research?
With regard to integrative health,
yeah,
I think that there are so many options available, and I think people are really looking for other options than the traditional approach to medicine. So my brother is an MD, and he tells me stories. He knows I like to hear stories. He tells me stories, and there are times that he shares stories with me where if integrative health was a part of his working profession, I think many of his patients would feel better about their lives or end-of-life care or dealing with unsettling diagnosis. And so integrative health gives you those options like the being able to experience yoga, body work, or those types of things where you can say this particular practice, this particular way of feeling and thinking of being belongs to me in health. And in traditional health, sometimes you have to leave that outside the door and say, okay, let's just get to the what's wrong. And with integrative health, you say, I can take my meditation into this doctor's office with me. I can definitely bring myself here. And I love that. I really love that opportunity.
You need to capture that. That is beautiful. I love, like, you can take it with you into the doctor's office. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So you also have a deep dedication towards positive change, social change. You're involved with, you just were elected to our Faculty Senate as a co-chair. Congratulations.
Thank
you. That's pretty fabulous. So you have a long line of work. When you think about all the reasons that, when you think about the university and why students come here and why they choose the integrative medicine and the social work program, our PhD in integrative social work, what are some thoughts that come to mind for you about why students, why others should look at Saybrook as a location or destination for their education?
I think it is a destination for their education. And so I think it's like kind of one of those, you want to do those destination vacations and you're like, I'll probably never get there. I don't have enough money. I have to wait to retirement. Well, Saybrook is sort of like living that dream. So for me at Saybrook, I it's very different from a lot of traditional schools in the sense that some schools, or at least I'm just referring to my own experiences, pretty much identify who you are and who you will become. But in Saybrook, it's a blank slate. You can actually create. You can say, this is my place of creativity. This is how I breathe. This is who I am. This is what I become. And I love that. That is the one thing that drew me to Saybrook and drew me back to Saybrook is, as a student, I came here looking for that destination vacation spot where I can feel like I can get my education and I can still feel like I'm free. So I went there for that, and I'm back to teach it because I believe in it so much, and I believe in the fact that students or people who are interested in getting away from just the headache associated with I've got to do it only one way can come to Saybrook and say, there are many ways that I'd like to do this, and I'd like to share my story about it. And then guess what? We Saybrook is so flexible that there is a way in every department. And that's what I feel from my experience. And I've been a part of Saybrook and been following Saybrook since 2009 when I graduated. I never left. So that would be, and that's what I would encourage students to do, especially those students who are really looking to be deeply connected to their program and deeply connected to science and deeply connected to the field of study.
Bottle that up and take that home. That was just beautifully stated, Dr. Englert. Thank you for that. So as we come to the conclusion of our interview today, well, we definitely want to have you back to talk more about the work you and your team, your faculty team, is doing.
Oh, yes.
We've got kind of the two major takeaways for every guest, right? So
Okay.
they're quick takes. So whatever comes to mind, you should ace this with no problem whatsoever. It's a test. You won't fail, I don't think. No, I think you're going to be fine. So, what does the term humanistic mean to you?
To be human, to understand, and that really and truly, when I think of it, it's to be human. It's to allow ourselves to be human. It's not fitting in a box. It's like I and this is my tagline for myself. Don't try to fit in when you were created to stand out. And who you are, or who you're becoming, is what's real. And so, to be human, if you're breathing, if you're thinking, if you're feeling human, you are human. And for me to honor that space of humanity in you, and to also share my humanity with you, is the and that's my approach, because human science, that's where it all came from. So it is. It really is to be human on many, many, many levels.
Just be human. I love it. All right. And then what we ask each guest to do is give your three things that people can do right now to improve their health, their mental health, or just help them help make the world a better place to live in. So what are your three things?
Let me think of it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I think that people need to not focus so much on doing and focus more on being and becoming. And I think that that's the first way to create or to be able to sense who you are, is to say, I know what I can do. I know what I've been trained to do. I know what my parents told me to do, but who am I?
Who am I?
And yes, and Albert Einstein said that once. He said that the problem with America, he was like, is that we are so busy becoming and never being. So to become to the point that we are being is the most honoring place, and to love yourself, to love who you are. To know that you have value, to know that what you bring is good, and just kind of get out of that box of I'm not good enough type thing, but just be who you are.
You are enough, as they say.
You are
I
enough.
love it. Well, we're going to let you have the last word on that. I usually press for three, but that was quite beautiful. So I think you nailed it on that one. Before you go, where can people find you on the web? Where would you like to direct them towards?
My Saybrook website has my bio and everything. I mean, my everything is at Saybrook right now. Is all my professional work through the Saybrook faculty page is the best place through Mind Body Medicine.
You got to check it out. Dr. Annette Anderson Engler is new but mighty and making some really great waves here. Really love your energy. Thank you so much for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thanks, Annette. Annette, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed Annette as much as I did. Remember the three major takeaways. She encouraged us actually to not focus so much on doing, number one, and instead focus on being. And number three, love yourself for who you are. So I broke it up into three parts, and I think those are just perfect. And I think we summarized it pretty well. Go away with the idea that you are enough. It's beautiful advice. If you want to see the Saybrook YouTube version of this, please visit our YouTube page. Make sure to hit subscribe and click the bell for notifications. If you'd like to support the podcast, go to Apple iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review and subscribe so you can get episodes as they come out. If you're on Spotify, leave that 5-star rating and make sure to follow us. You can, of course, subscribe to us on most major podcast platforms, including Google, Stitcher, Pandora, and others. Remember to check our show notes for information on today's guest, including links to websites, books, and the like. For more about our university, go to www.saybrook.edu. Click on Areas of Study at the top of the page and locate the program of your choice to learn more. Or simply Google Saybrook University Mind Body Medicine or your program of choice. Take care, everyone. Thank you very much. Be well.